Good morning. The title for my talk this morning is The Separation and the Supper, A Longing for Reunion. Brothers and sisters, we are beings who understand perhaps better than anything else the concept of connection and separation. From the moment a child is separated from their parents in a crowded store, a powerful anxiety wells up. As you remember, Mary and Joseph experienced something similar with Jesus when he was 12 years old, traveling from Nazareth to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. We can share in the feeling of panic, of being lost, of a desperate need to be reunited with the one who provides safety and identity. That feeling doesn't leave us. We feel it when we are traveling far from family, when a relationship ends, or when we stand at a graveside, experiencing the separation of death. There's a longing in the human heart to be united, to be known, and to be home. This morning, as we gather around this table, we are here to confront the most profound separation in the history of the universe and to celebrate the only bridge ever built to span it. We were not created for separation. We were created for unity. We were made to walk with God in the cool of the day, in perfect fellowship, but sin entered the world. And the first and most devastating consequence of sin was not guilt or shame, but separation. Adam and Eve hid from God. A chasm opened between humanity and our Creator. And we have been wandering lost and anxious ever since. This separation from God is the root of all our fears and anxieties. This week, I met a man who shared a powerful story of facing death because of lupus. He was overwhelmed by fatigue. His gums became so inflamed and swollen, he said that his teeth were so loose they almost dropped out of his mouth. He was terrified because this was happening prior to his diagnosis, and he was lost in the unknown. When he was finally diagnosed, the doctors told him he had practically no more red blood cells left. He needed an immediate emergency blood transfusion just to live. His fear of death was palpable, and his gratitude for surviving was immense. Think about the fear. Think about the fear of the unknown, of your body failing you, of an impending end that you cannot control. Now, let us turn our eyes to the cross. Let us turn our thoughts to the one this supper represents, Jesus Christ. When Jesus went to the cross, he did not go in ignorance. He did not face his suffering with the same fear of the unknown. Jesus faced it with a full and complete knowledge of exactly what was happening. Colossians 1:16 through 17 tells us, "For by him all things were created, in him, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together." The man who hung on the cross was the same God who created the human body. He designed the nerve endings that were screaming in agony. He understood the physiology of crucifixion, the slow asphyxiation as his body sagged, the tearing of muscle, the catastrophic loss of blood. My friend with lupus was saved by a blood transfusion. Christ, the very source of life, willingly poured out his own. But his suffering was deeper than the physical. He who is unity, who is the glue that holds all things together, experienced the one thing he had never known, total, absolute separation. When he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? It was the cry of all humanity. It was the sound of our chasm, of our sin, of our separation being placed fully upon his shoulders. He endured the ultimate separation so that we could have the ultimate reunion. Christ puts the fear, that fear into perspective. Matthew 10:20 says, Jesus says, and do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Jesus is teaching us that there is one separation far more terrifying than the body from the spirit. It is the eternal separation of the soul from God. This is the danger. This is the anxiety that should drive us. The Bible readings from this week's study are a stark reminder of this reality. We read in Matthew 13:47-50, Jesus describes the end of the age as a great catch. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. Matthew 25:31-46. As the king sits on his throne and separates the people, as shepherds separate the sheep from the goats, to one he says, come, and the other, depart from me. Come and depart. Reunion and separation. That is the final and irreversible reality. We even see this terrible urgency in the account of Lazarus and the rich man. When the rich man finds himself in torment, separated from God by a great chasm, his first thought is not for himself, but for his family. He begs Abraham to send Lazarus back so that he may warn them, lest they also come to this place of torment. He who is eternally separated understands the horror and longs to save others from it. Nonetheless, if this great danger is eternal separation from God, then our only safety is in a willing separation for God. To follow Christ, we must be willing to separate ourselves from the world and its evil. We must, as Luke 9:57-62 teaches us, put our hand to the plow and not look back. We must desire to separate ourselves from worldly concerns that choke our faith. This can even mean separating ourselves from friends or family who draw us away from Christ. Jesus highlighted this very tension in Matthew 12:46-50. When told his mother and brothers were outside, he gestured to his disciples and said, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my mother, is my brother and sister and mother. He was defining a new family, a new unity, based not on blood, but on the obedience and faith. We must draw ourselves near to those who are of this common faith. This brings us to this table. This is not an ordinary meal. This is our proclamation. The bread broken represents his body, the body he created, the body that was separated by nails and the spear, the body that bore our sin. The cup poured out represents his blood, the blood that gives life, the blood that was his life, poured out in final perfect transfusion for all of our humanity, bringing the chasm that sin had created. When we take this supper, we are declaring that we long to be united with our Heavenly Father. We are acknowledging the sin that caused the separation. We are remembering the anxiety and the horror of that separation, which Christ took upon himself. And we are accepting his invitation to come. John 6:38 through 40 says, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but to the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." So knowing this, we can have confidence in his words. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid."